everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to Life Journeys with Serena. I'm so excited to be here with you all. And I just feel so lucky to be able to talk to you guys about all these things that I'm so passionate about and connect with you all. And wow, what a Monday it has already been. Like, I feel like everyone I've been talking to has just been saying, gosh, the energy today is just so chaotic. It's just all over the place. You know, we started the day with my cat figuring out how to unplug a bunch of different stuff and breaking the glasses. And yeah, if you are all feeling the chaotic energy, know that you are not alone. We're right there with you. And I'm really so grateful that I get to just take a step back from everything for an hour and talk to you all and hang out with you guys for a bit. So hopefully that this can be a little break for you guys too. So for those of you who haven't jumped into the chat room before, I just want to let you know that you can find it on 12radio.com. And it's on the list of options that you'll see at the left of the screen. You can find a button that says chat. So click on that and it'll take you to our Facebook group, which has the exact same name, 12radio. And then from there, you can request to enter the group and our admins will make sure that you get in right away so that you can join the chat and see our little community over there. And then you'll find a post with my banner on it, which is a picture of me with my goofy pup. We're hanging out on a beach. And so then join us in the comment section of that post. And I'd love it if you guys just comment anything that comes to mind. I love hearing about your experiences and all your thoughts. And then as we're jumping into everything today, and if any questions come up along the way, please, please just leave a comment with your questions. And I always make sure to go through at the end of each show just to answer and respond to everything you guys say. So it's just such a fun way for me to connect with you all. And already a couple of your comments have inspired certain things that I've talked about. And I love hearing about what's going on in your worlds and how your experiences are similar or different to mine. And it makes my day being able to see it all and see you all there. Okay, so our big topic for today is food. We're going to be continuing our conversation about cycle syncing as well. And we spent last week talking about how to plan our month around our cycle and how to give ourselves grace with understanding of how much we change throughout the four phases of our cycle. But today we're jumping into the major deep dive of how to eat to support your cycle. And so I just want to, before we make that big leap, I just want to say that, you know, when it comes to talking about food, I know that most of us have really complex relationships with eating and dieting and our body image. And personally, I've had such a complicated and just ever-changing relationship to food ever since I was a kid. And, you know, I was a bit chubby as a kid, and once I started going through puberty, I was pretty much very curvy right away. And by the age of 12 or so, I was trying different diets and trying to lose weight. And it was such a huge part of my childhood. And, it, you know, of course, I carried that into adulthood, and gosh, let me just tell you, it's been a journey. And what's kind of cool about what's happening now is that we're starting to embrace curvy women now more, and it's definitely helped me accept my own body in a way that I never thought would be possible. But paired with that, also thin women who don't have curves or hips or an ass, I mean, they're being shamed. And they're saying, oh, well, you should work out more or go get surgery. It's just, it's ridiculous. And it really has flipped and done a complete 180. Because when I was growing up, you know, skinny women with no curves at all, that was all the rage. And I can't talk about all of this without pointing out that these, you know, quote unquote trends are so deeply connected to the sexualization of women's bodies. I mean, this isn't what we're talking about today, but I just have to point it out. And if I get started talking about this, I'll never stop. But I just want to say that, I mean, the sexualization of the female body, it's possibly the biggest factor when it comes to what society accepts and how women should look. And I mean, this of course happens with men's body images as well, which is really not talked about as much as it should be. And just the over-sexualization of the human body as what is desirable or what we should all be striving for. And the fact that that gets blended with what is healthy or what actually, and there's really just no concept of intuitively understanding what makes us feel good and healthy. It's just, it is mind-boggling how hard it is to separate it. And I mean, just wouldn't it be incredible if we could all just feel our way through what makes us personally and individually feel great and figure out how we can be healthy and take care of our bodies and what personally, like individually, makes us feel sexy and confident. Like, I think we all strive to get to that point, but it's so much easier said than done. I think that that statement is really easy to say. That like, oh, I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm just trying to feel good in my body, right? Or I'm just trying to feel confident, or I'm just trying to feel sexy. And it's just, there's so many factors against us, right? I mean, this ancient BMI system that makes it so hard to feel like, quote unquote, medically healthy. Like, even if you're taking care of yourself, working out and eating healthily, you still have this system that pretty much no matter where you fall, it's really hard to fall within that little bracket where you are supposedly healthy. I mean, I've had a doctor tell me that I'm perfectly healthy and taking care of myself in a great way, but that I'm also high on the BMI scale and that I should lose weight. I mean, what do you do with that information? How can you be healthy and doing a great job taking care of yourself, but also you're overweight? It's just, it is the, yeah, BMI is also something I could totally dive into. But that's not what we're talking about today, but it's just an aspect of it. But the other side of it is our society is designed to make us always think that something is wrong with ourselves and how we look. And that pushes us to buy things to change how we look, whether that's, you know, a new pill or try this new diet, where you can buy this book, or, you know, go get this surgery. It's so hard to figure out if we're actually healthy or not with all of these different factors coming in. And for me, it's all these different aspects between doctors and you know, what society is telling us how we should look and everything there. It's impacted me in such a severe way of it's, I mean, I've tried a ridiculous amount of diets. I mean, ever since I was 12 years old, yeah, pretty much 12 years old, I've said, oh, I should probably lose 20 pounds. And I'm pretty sure I've said that at least every year, you know, throughout most of my life, no matter what weight I was. And I talk to so many women who say, oh, you know, I could probably lose 10 pounds. I should probably lose 30 pounds. I could definitely lose 15 pounds. And how ridiculous is it that no matter what, you could be overweight and you could be unhealthy. And it, rather than saying, I want to be healthy at a point where my body is taken care of, where I'm taking care of my body and I'm able to do these things I want to do. But it always comes down to that number. It's always been just so frustrating to me. But for me, that, you know, that mentality, it continued well into my adulthood. And on top of that, my weight has been significantly impacted by my periods and the different types of birth control that I've been on. My weight has fluctuated so much. And I mean, of all the different diets I've tried, you know, ever since I was a teenager, I've tried so many different things. I've tried paleo, I've tried to go vegan, I've tried keto. I mean, just to list a few. And no matter what I've tried, I've never met my goal weight, and I've always given up after 3-6 months, you know, because the diet would then negatively impact the rest of my life and my relationship with my body without giving me any benefit. And, you know, I've always paired these diets with different workouts, you know, interval training, strength training, really intense cycling or sprint intervals, other cardio. And I'm such a Sagittarius, so I never do it half-assed. I'm always like, I have to commit. This has to be crazy. Every diet or new workout I've tried, I always did it in the most intense way. And even with all that, I never really lost weight. And half the time I'd gain weight, which is just insane. And it wasn't until I tried cycle syncing that I not only started to heal my relationship with food, but I started to see results without torturing myself through an intense diet and workout routine. I started feeling better in my body. I developed a healthier and a more intuitive relationship with food. I lost a bit of weight. I had a lot more energy. I woke up without that lag. I didn't have that brain fog. I wouldn't crash hard in the afternoons and need to take a nap or need a coffee. Plus, I got my horrible, horrible 10-day long period down to just 3 days without all of the symptoms that everyone assumes is something that comes with all periods. And okay, so now I want to say I lost just a bit of weight because if you look at the actual weight I lost in pounds, it's true. I never met my goal weight of, losing 20 pounds or whatever that is. But my weight was redistributed throughout my body in a way that I actually now love. And I've lost fat and gained muscle in a way that I have never before with any of the other multitude of diets that I've tried. And okay, so I guess now we may as well just go into it. What does actually eating and exercising to support your body throughout your cycle look like? I know it probably sounds bizarre, right? Because I guess we think of food as just being simple nutrients, calories in, calories out. But when you break it down, there's actually certain benefits and types of food and combinations of food that pair with the hormones that are changing in your body throughout the month that can actually support your body in a way that actually becomes so intuitive where you can really just start to listen to what your body needs. And this is different from like giving into that craving of, oh, I want that greasy pizza or oh, I want that ice cream. Because when you're actually supporting your cycle and supporting your hormones with this lifestyle shift, you start to realize that those cravings were because you had a deficit of something. You weren't supporting your body with the right healthy fats at a certain point, or enough protein or enough iron. So you want that boost of dopamine that comes with those cravings of chips or sugar or all that stuff in order to make up for the fact that your hormones aren't supported otherwise. So I also just want to, okay, before I go into the full deep dive, I just need to say I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. I'm just talking about my personal experience and all the research that I've done in order to best support my body and my cycle and my hormones. And actually, when I went to my gynecologist and said, I want to try cycle syncing, she had no clue what I was talking about. And when I kind of walked her through the basics of like what it's all about, she said, okay, cool. Yeah, there's no reason why this is all pretty tame. You're fine. There's no reason this isn't raising any red lights for me. And I just want to point out like all of our bodies are different. And so make sure that you take this step with your doctor just so that you know if these shifts in your diet and in exercise are a good fit for you and your body. Also, if you work with a naturopathic doctor, they may be more familiar with cycle syncing. And with my experience of working with Western doctors, like no one has ever had any idea what I'm talking about. I hope they've been interested in it, but they're definitely not taught this in school. And I hope it's something that will become a bit more common, but I think we're just so far away from that. Okay, but for those of you who are just joining us this week and haven't been with us the past couple of weeks, here's your basic breakdown of what cycle syncing is. It's basically the lifestyle of shifting certain aspects of your daily life to support the four phases of your cycle each month. So this can include the food that you eat, the workouts that you do, the workload you put on yourself, and also just overall how you start to listen to your body. Okay, there's so many hormones within your body, right? But the three main sex hormones at play when we talk about cycle syncing are estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone. And we're going to be talking about these three guys a lot today. All three of these sex hormones impact us differently when our body is building these hormones and when we experience a peak or a dip with estrogen. It'll feel different than when we feel that peak or dip of testosterone or of progesterone. And you'll start to, once you start paying attention to what's happening throughout your 28-day cycle, your 35-day cycle, right? However long your individual cycle is, you'll start to notice, oh, wow, I'm having that big dip in energy today because my body just stopped producing estrogen and I'm feeling that crash. Or I'm feeling cranky because my body stopped producing progesterone today, right? And it's just, you start to notice the differences in the way that these hormones and their peaks and valleys will actually impact us. And so within our cycle, we have four phases where our hormones are fluctuating differently. And we start each menstrual phase. We start with the menstrual phase, right? Which is when you bleed. The first day of your period is day one of your cycle. In this first phase, estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone, your three main sex hormones, are all at their lowest point. This is mainly why we have lower energy during our periods, our moods are lower, and everything can just feel a little laggy or harder or more challenging. We don't really have the support of these three major sex hormones because our body's sole focus in the menstrual phase is shedding the lining of our uterus. And this phase typically lasts 3 to 5 days. Or in my case, before I started doing all of this, it was 10 days. But typically, if you have a healthy cycle where your hormones are working where they're supposed to be, your period will last 3 to 5 days. So then we go into our second phase. And once you finish your period, it's the beginning of the follicular phase, the first day where you don't bleed at all. And once the follicular phase starts, we start to rapidly build estrogen. You'll feel an increase in your energy once you start to feel the benefits of having higher levels of estrogen in your system. And then towards the end of this phase, you'll start building testosterone and progesterone as you get ready to ovulate. And so you have all three of your major sex hormones building, 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 which you'll start to feel the benefits of that because just think of it as your body has so much more support. And so the follicular phase lasts 7 to 10 days or so. And it's really just that pocket between when your period ends and when you start ovulating. So then when you do start ovulating, this is the beginning of your ovulatory phase. This is when an egg is released from one of your ovaries and is ready to be implanted with sperm. Your sex hormones are desperately trying to get you pregnant at this time. So your estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone are all building. And estrogen and testosterone specifically are actually peaking. And they're going to be at their highest point throughout the entire month. So this is going to give you higher energy. You're going to feel more social. You're going to feel more positive. You're going to start to build progesterone too. And so you literally have all sex hormones supporting you when you ovulate. And this is why a lot of women feel the best when they ovulate. A lot of women will say that they have their best workouts. They have the best sex when they ovulate. They wake up energized. They wake up excited. The way that these hormones actually impact your state of mind and all of these different aspects of your life is just mind-blowing and shows that when you have the support of these hormones, it drastically impacts all of your life. And I mean, so your ovulatory phase only lasts like 2 to 4 days. Some women have it longer. Some it's like 5 days. Mine's around 3 days. It's only lasts like, it's this little window when you're getting all the support of your hormones. And then, you know, the rest of the time, one of them isn't there to support. But when you finish ovulating, you begin your luteal phase. So this is when you're going to gradually start to feel the decrease of estrogen and testosterone as your body continues to build progesterone. So the increase of progesterone actually feels really different than the increase of the other two sex hormones. And if it's not properly supported, it can result in those higher mood swings right before you start your next period. It can lead to really intense cravings and terrible cramps and, you know, horrible sleep, lower energy, and basically all the symptoms that we're told are normal that all women experience. But they all have to do with progesterone, because your luteal phase, right, lasts 10 to 14 days, but in that pocket between when you finish ovulating and when you start your next period. When progesterone is building, you do have that higher energy. You basically are working on continuing to, you have progesterone supporting your body, but about halfway through this phase, day 7 or 8 or so of this phase, your body realizes you aren't pregnant, and then you feel an immediate crash in progesterone, which, if your progesterone hormone isn't properly supported with the different foods and sleep you're getting and everything, can lead to those horrible symptoms of intense cravings, really bad mood swings, and, you know, all those things I just listed off. And the best thing that I ever learned how to do is how to support all the different hormones along the way, just so that I don't have that terrible week right before my period. And it is crazy how much progesterone actually is such a significant aspect of how these hormones impact you and your life throughout your period. Okay, so there's your crash course breakdown on your cycle and the hormones. And if you want a deeper dive, go check out my cycle syncing breakdown on 12listen.com. It's and under my email-based services, which you'll find under my advisor profile, you'll find my basic breakdown guide on cycle syncing. I'm actually running a 40% off sale until midnight tonight Pacific time, which is going to start right after this show. So from 1 p.m. until midnight tonight, it's 40% off. And if you're interested in seeing a thorough breakdown of each phase, as well as the complete list of foods and cooking methods and exercises for each of the four phases, go check it out. Also in this basic breakdown, I put together a little cheat sheet. So as you're starting to get to know your cycle, like, rather than having to read through all the paragraphs of information and you're like, I don't really understand why progesterone is so important, it's a lot of information to learn. So as long as you know whatever day you're on of your cycle, right? Day 1 is the first day that you bleed, and then you just count up from there. So say you're on day 10, then you can go see a little short bullet point list in my little cheat sheet at the end of this document of what your strengths are today, what additional support you're going to need today, what foods are best for you, and just a couple other little tips, so that you don't have to read through the entire document whenever you're trying to figure out what does my body need today. Okay, so that's over there if you want to do a bigger deep dive on what everything I just talked about, and also see the full list of foods and everything that we're going to be spending the next 30 minutes of the show talking about. So why don't we just get started? So what am I really talking about when I say eating to support your cycle, right? It's still just, even to me, it sounds like, what does that mean? Eating to support my cycle. Well, with all the shifting hormones that fluctuate throughout the four phases of your cycle, certain foods can offer additional support. So when you're in your menstrual phase, right, the first phase of your period, of your cycle, when you start bleeding, like we just said, estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone are all at their lowest, and your reproductive system is entirely focused on shedding the lining of your uterus and preparing you for your next cycle. It's an incredibly stressful time for your internal body. So this is often why we'll reach for comfort foods during our periods, like chips and chocolate and greasy food and sugar and ice cream. Right? This provides us with that temporary dopamine that boosts, and we feel that hormonal boost, right? And it makes up for our lack of hormonal support from our sex hormones, because they are tanked. They're gone. We have no support from our sex hormones during our period. So we'll look for any quick little fix of, gosh, I just need some sort of satisfaction. I just need some sort of boost of happiness, dopamine, serotonin, just give me anything, right? We're literally craving more hormones and more support for our body during this period. So if we actually look at what our bodies really need during this phase, it's protein and healthy fats, right? So this is also our coldest part of our cycle. A few shows ago, I went into the big breakdown on how each phase of our cycle lines up with one of the four seasons, which is one of my favorite things about cycle syncing. I love anything that solidifies my connection to nature and is able to give me a tangible connection of, oh yeah, this is where I come from and this is what I'm rooted in. And I think it's just brilliant and beautiful that each four of our phases of our cycle perfectly line up with the four seasons. And so when you are in your menstrual phase, you are in winter, right? Our body is actually experiencing the coldest part of our cycle. And we're going to be talking about hot and cold a lot throughout this part of understanding what foods best support us in each phase. So literally eating warm foods is going to make it so that your body doesn't have to work as hard to digest your food and pull the nutrients from what you're putting into your body, right? So when we eat cold food, our body actually has to put more effort into warming up the food before we can digest it. It's why a lot of people suggest, you know, when you're working out, don't drink cold water. You want to actually drink warm water because it's easier for your body to process. So it's But little things like that, by eating soups or cooked vegetables or warm oatmeal, right, during our period, we're actually helping out our body and kind of taking out one of the steps, one of the really necessary steps of making sure the food is warm enough, body temperature, everything, so that we can digest it and get all the nutrients out of it. And the important thing here is that by helping our bodies out this way, we are not adding additional stress to what is an already really stressful time. So when you think about workouts during this phase, right? Since your menstrual phase is the most stressful part of your cycle, the last thing your body needs is additional stress. So there have been many studies that have actually shown that women who take naps during their menstrual phase, during their period, will lose more weight than women who go on a run. If you really want to get some movement in, right, take a long walk, do some light yoga, right? Incorporate maybe a bit of like light yoga meditation into your day, but don't go for a run. Don't go on that bike ride. Don't do that strength training, right? You don't want to add more stress to an already really stressful time. And let yourself nap. Your body is working so hard. Let yourself rest, okay? So that's the exercise aspect of what your body needs and the best way you can support your body through movement in your menstrual phase. Now, foods that support our bodies and our very low hormones during our menstrual phase are things like grass-fed beef, beans, beets, kale, mushrooms, dark berries, watermelon, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, rye oats. So this is just to name a few. The list is actually really long of foods that will best support you. And so for me, just as an example, during my menstrual phase, I love to start the day with warm oatmeal with some protein powder in it, with blackberries or blueberries. I've been kind of trying out the baked oats thing too that a lot of people are doing, and that's great as a way to get higher protein in there. Then sometimes I like to put like beets and onions and chickpeas with some olive oil and spices in the oven, and then I put that over a warm bed of kale with like my favorite dressing, and that's just such a warm salad that is full of the nutrients that my body needs. And then for dinner, maybe I'll order ramen with some beef, or occasionally I'll make like a slow cooked roast that I can eat. Like if I do a big portion of it, I can eat that like throughout my period. And so those are just some of the things that I love to eat during myself and that have really been, I've learned, have really supported me during my period with this, using a lot of the food that's in that list of foods that supports your hormones. And sometimes I don't cook during my period and I'll only eat out, but you know, the things I order change. Like I'll resist the temptation to order the greasy pizza and I'll get like a miso soup instead, right? It's incredibly good for you during your period. Miso is so beneficial when you're menstruating. You know, or I'll eat ramen three times during that menstrual phase, and, or any hot soup, like a tortilla soup or anything like that. Anything that is warm and soothing. And think about what you crave on a freezing winter day when it's snowing, right? What does your body crave then? That's what your period is craving. And so what I personally do, I mean, it changes every month, and I make sure I listen to what feels the least stressful. Right. I listen to my cravings and I interpret what my body is lacking rather than just giving into the craving. Right. If I'm craving ice cream, wow, I didn't eat enough healthy fats. Or maybe I should just have a little bit of chocolate. Right. And I can get that little boost. But maybe I know that tomorrow I need to make sure that I'm supporting my hormones by incorporating more healthy fats into my day throughout the day, rather than getting to the end of the day and realizing and feeling that ice cream craving because you're craving fat and sugar because you didn't get enough of it throughout the day. So, I mean, the other thing, I mean, if I slip up, it's no big deal. If I eat ice cream when my body is already at its coldest, that's okay. Like, I make sure to give myself grace with all of it because one of the best things about this diet is it's not like, you're going to screw up the rest of your progress because you didn't fit within the, it's just, it's not a restrictive diet, which I absolutely love. It's so intuitive. And it's by far my favorite thing about eating within cycle syncing and eating to support my hormones because it's just intuitive and it's full of grace and understanding and listening to my body and listening to what those cravings actually mean. And so, okay, so that's your basic breakdown of what you should be eating during your menstrual phase. Once you stop bleeding and you go into your follicular phase, right, you'll start to build up estrogen and you'll start to feel an increase of energy overall. Estrogen's a great hormone that's produced from your ovaries, right? You may notice that you aren't as hungry during your follicular phase, and this is because estrogen can actually suppress your appetite. And this is entirely normal, but since you may not be eating as much, it's important to eat nutrient-dense food. So the priority during your follicular phase is fiber and iron. A lot of women experience that they're lacking iron in their system after their periods for obvious reasons, and it's important to be taking iron supplements or making sure you're incorporating iron into your diet, especially if you have a history of anemia or really heavy periods. We as women just overall need more iron. Another thing that's really important during the follicular phase, right after you finish your period, is to stay hydrated. Your body is starting to build all three of these sex hormones, and it's a lot of hard work. So stay hydrated, make sure you're staying on top of your electrolytes, and doing that really simple thing can support your hormone production so much. So running back over to the seasonal aspect of our cycle, right? Since the follicular phase is the spring season, your internal body is starting to warm up so that you can start to incorporate cold foods back into your diet. There's significantly less stress going on internally in your follicular phase, and your body has estrogen supporting all the changes going on. And remember that spring is all about growth and change. It's a really big shift in this season, right? And your body has a good amount of support already with your sex hormones building more and more every day. And when it comes to the idea of how these sex hormones support us, I literally like to think of what is holding me up, right? When I'm on my period, nothing is holding me up. It's just me, right? When I'm going into my follicular phase, estrogen shows up and starts to give me a hand. It's holding me up. And then I'm starting to feel testosterone start to build towards the end of my follicular phase. And all of a sudden, I have so much more support lifting me up and up and up. And then once you get later on into your cycle, you start ovulating, you also have progesterone there helping you lift up and up. And it's this idea of literally what support do we have holding us up versus what support are we lacking right now where we need to compensate. So when you have estrogen supporting you in your follicular phase, the best thing that you can do is eat the foods that will help produce more estrogen and will prepare you for the amount of work that your body needs to do to also build testosterone and progesterone in your next phase. And foods that are going to support your increasing estrogen and help you prepare for your next phase are things like carrots, zucchini, lettuce, avocado, lots of citrus, right? So lemons and limes and oranges and grapefruits and tangerines, right? And then chicken and eggs, crab and clams. So you can start to incorporate some seafood, right? But then also nut butters and yogurt. And so during the follicular phase, I like to start the day maybe with a yogurt, with some nut butter and fruit. I get a giant bag of tangerines or the clementines. I like to snack on oranges like throughout the day. And then maybe I'll have a salad with avocados and carrots and hard-boiled eggs and maybe some chicken. And then for dinner, maybe some chicken tacos with guacamole. You know, it's just like, how can you? And again, the list is so much longer than what I just listed off, and I'm just giving examples of the things that I'm mentioning. But this phase is 7 to 10 days long, right? So you can get really creative with the ingredients that you have and try some new things. Your building estrogen in this phase also means you will likely feel more creative. So it's a great time to try new recipes, try a new restaurant, try all these things. You have more energy to play with. And that's normally what leads to creativity. Another big aspect of the follicular phase is that since your body's main focus is building estrogen, it's actually a great time to do a detox. So your body often stores excess estrogen from previous cycles if you don't detox. So drinking some dandelion root tea during this phase, or however you like to detox in a natural way, as long as you start in moderation, it can be really beneficial during this phase. And that paired with starting to build up some more cardio, getting creative and trying some new workouts, doing some hikes, some light strength training, maybe a Pilates class, a spin class. You know, it's a great time to try new workouts and to have fun with your workouts, right? So then we jump into our ovulatory phase, right? It's the most fun part of our cycle. It is summertime. It's when all our sex hormones are peaking. And a lot of women say that they feel like they're on top of the world. They can do anything. They wake up with energy. They're having a great time, right? Now, if you don't feel this way, if you start ovulating and you feel like crap, this was me. When I was a teenager, I would start ovulating and I would have the worst cramps ever. And it meant that my body was struggling so hard to produce the hormones that I needed in order to release the egg and have it released from my ovaries, travel down the fallopian tube, you know, everything that happens there, my body was struggling. So I was experiencing cramps. I had terrible mood swings. I had no energy, right? So if you aren't feeling all these wonderful summer aspects of your ovulatory phase, it means your hormones need more support. And it goes both ways, right? So the same way that our hormones are supporting us, we need to make sure that our body is supporting our hormone production in order for that to happen, right? So it's definitely that two-way road. And when we get into this ovulatory phase, in our summer phase, we're going to be internally warm. Our internal stress is going to be minimal. It'll be the least amount of stress our internal body is going to experience throughout the entire cycle. And our energy is going to be higher, right? So this means we can handle more stress in our external lives without it negatively impacting us too much, right? It's a great time for more intense workouts, pushing yourself physically, trying, that next level of your workout that you've been a little hesitant to try. Of course, do everything safely, but if you feel that boost of energy, a lot of women say that they experience their best workouts during their ovulatory phase. It's something I've experienced absolutely, It really is a fun, powerful moment to experience. And it's because your body has all that support. So use it, right? So, right, summer phase, ovulatory phase, cold foods are going to help balance us out, right? We're internally hot. Cold foods are going to help us balance everything out there, right? So it's a great time for smoothies and salads and sandwiches and everything there. It's going to be a great balance for our hormones during our ovulatory phase. This is actually also the phase where chocolate is recommended, and it's very beneficial for our hormones. It unfortunately is not recommended for the rest of the cycle, for the rest of the phases throughout your cycle. It doesn't stop me. I personally advise eating chocolate all the time, in moderation, of course. But yeah, I can't imagine only eating chocolate in this, 3 to 5 day window. But on top of chocolate, the ovulatory foods that are beneficial, it's a lot of vegetables like peppers and asparagus, Brussels sprouts, eggplants, spinach, tomatoes, and then also berries and fruits like raspberry, guava, strawberries, cantaloupe, and then seafood like salmon and shrimp and tuna, and then certain nuts like almonds and pistachios. And when I'm ovulating, I love starting the day with a berry and nut butter smoothie, having a big salad with salmon and shrimp for lunch, and maybe you do sushi for dinner, right? This phase only lasts for a few days, so have fun with all these foods and love that seafood and just it's such a fun time. And it's kind of fun that it's only a few days out of every month because you get so excited for it. And then you can plan for it. I like going out to dinner on my ovulatory phase more than I do with the rest of my cycle. I just feel more social. And it's something that I really enjoy doing. Ovulatory phase is a fun time. But when you stop ovulating, you switch into your luteal phase. It's that little pocket of window between when you finish ovulating and before your next period starts. A few days into this phase, you're going to feel the effects of decreasing testosterone and estrogen, right? Estrogen did her job. She's done. Testosterone did his job. They're all done, right? You are going to all of a sudden feel that start to crash, but progesterone keeps building, right? And progesterone needs a lot of support. It has a really big job, right? When you actually do get pregnant, progesterone is a big aspect of what the first parts of starting to support that baby is. So progesterone is like he's got a lot of responsibility. So he needs a lot of support. I don't know why progesterone is male in my head, but I'm running with it. But for me at least, it's always felt a bit trickier to support. I've noticed that whenever I don't support my previous phases, that my luteal phase, right, this fourth and final phase at the end of my cycle is harder to support. And I think it seems like it's because whenever you aren't able to support the accurate production of estrogen and testosterone, then your body is kind of scrambling to be able to produce enough progesterone. So the dynamic that happens in your luteal phase is a few days into your luteal phase, after you stop ovulating, you'll feel that crash of estrogen and testosterone, which will be a little dip in your energy. And then maybe 5, 6, 7 days or so before you start your next period, your body is going to realize that you're not pregnant. And then it's like, okay, no baby to support. I'm going to stop producing progesterone. So then you're going to feel a giant crash of you will no longer have progesterone supporting you. You'll still feel the remnants of it. It won't be an immediate, okay, it's all gone. So it will be a little gradual, but it is severe. And that's normally when that week before your period, you have giant mood swings. You have those cravings. I would start having cramps 5 or 6 days before I'd start bleeding. And it's just because my body didn't have that support. Because once progesterone's gone, it's like, okay, what are we working with, right? And if you're not eating and living day to day in a way that will support your body without the hormonal support that you have throughout a lot of, you know, the rest of your cycle, it's like your body's grasping for straws. It's like, I don't have anything to work with. Okay, gosh, it's going to be hard. Here's a mood swing. Here's some cramps. Here's some acne, right? It's just kind of everything goes to shit. So things that you can do to support your luteal phase in this really important time. It's your fall phase. So the reason why I actually love this phase is because I love fall foods. You can eat things like squash and pumpkin and ground, like, I guess this isn't a fall, ground turkey. Like, turkey is a big supporter, which I guess is Thanksgiving, so that counts as fall. But you want to be eating things like collard greens and cucumber and garlic and ginger and mustard greens and, yes, sweet potatoes and, oh, sweet potatoes. I totally eat a ton of sweet potatoes during this phase. But, and then also things like apples and dates. Think of things that come to harvest in fall. That is what you want to eat during this phase. You know, support your protein intake with beef and turkey, right? But you can also eat some seafood like cod and halibut. And a really helpful tea to drink also during this phase is raspberry leaf tea. It's actually going to, if you actually look in the tea section and see in a grocery store and see a menstrual supporting tea, it's actually just raspberry leaf tea. And it has a lot of vitamins and everything that is super supportive to your cycle. So if you're able to focus on these types of foods, it's going to be a huge benefit. And things that I like to eat, or I'll do this wonderful soup called harvest soup. It has apples and butternut squash and sweet potatoes. And I saute a little bit of ground turkey and put it over the top with some mint. It's so good. You can do that. You can start your day with an omelet or eggs. You want to be going back to warmer foods because your body is starting to cool down, right? Fall, your body's cooling down. You're getting ready for winter, for your menstrual cycle. And you just need to start warming your body back up and decreasing the amount of stress that you're going through. For workouts, you can start in the beginning when you still have some of these leftover hormones and your body is still producing progesterone, right? At the beginning of your luteal phase, you can still do some sprint intervals. You can do strength training, weightlifting, things like that. But then once you feel that crash and you're in that last week or so, right before your period, go back to doing yoga, Pilates, walks, light jogs. Try to just listen to the amount of stress that your body can take. Okay, so that's your breakdown. That's your big breakdown on what happens hormonally throughout your body and the things that you can do for each phase in order to support this roller coaster that you go through every month. I think an important thing that has been really helpful for me to remember as I was first starting in this and as I've gotten comfortable in it is, if you're going to, like, don't feel like you have to stick to the list of foods that will best support your cycle and your phase that you're in, right? If you absolutely love having this one breakfast every day, that is totally fine, right? Just try to add a few of these food items and a few of these cooking methods into your daily routine, and it'll help your body so much. It can be a big thing to think about, gosh, how am I going to change my budget? How do I shop for this? It's a big change. It's a huge shift. So something that's really helpful is to remember that you don't have to jump into all of it at once. At first, a big thing that I did was I just changed my protein, right? I didn't look at anything else. I only changed the protein that I was eating, right? And made sure that I had beef during my luteal and my menstrual phase, and I switched to more seafood focused and chicken food during my follicular and my ovulatory phase. And then I started with that. That's all I did for a month or two. Then I started to incorporate some teas, and then I started to incorporate the vegetables, and then I started to incorporate the workouts, right? Just pick a couple things that feel doable for you and your life and slowly start to add more. And yeah, it is a wild journey to jump into, but it has changed my life so much. Just the fact that I now have a 3-day long period without cramps, without mood swings, without acne. I sleep great. It sounds like I'm bragging, but I mean, it's taken a lot of work to get here, and people don't, people think I'm lying about it. I've had so many women say, there is no way that you don't, every woman has to have these side effects, these symptoms. There's no way you don't experience these things. And it takes a little bit of while of talking to them and saying, no, oh, I mean, this is the work that I do. These are the things that very intentionally incorporate into my life to support my body, because your body is working so hard to put yourself through this cycle every single month and needs support. The way that we need the support of our hormones and feel so good when our hormones are supporting us, our body and our hormones need our support. And a big step there is just starting to understand what that could look like or how it feels. So yeah, that's my whole big breakdown. For those of you who are interested in the basic breakdown cycle syncing guide, go ahead and check out under my advisor profile on onetolisten.com, under my email-based services, you'll be able to see where you can get that file. I will send it to you in an email, and you'll get the document that has the whole breakdown of basically all the research that I've done. And for those of you who are interested in a more custom experience where I'll be able to help you figure out, the best way to start to incorporate cycle syncing into your life, whether you haven't had a cycle in years because you have PCOS or you're underweight, or there's so many reasons why women haven't had a cycle. There's ways that you can start to trigger your cycle or start to do this without a cycle, and your body will catch up and the hormones will feel supported and you'll be able to start to produce a cycle. Or if you have teenage daughters who are going through this and you're saying, what do I do? How do I help them support this and get it so that they can learn this from the beginning? I'm going to be teaching a class through 1-2 Academy starting in July. That information will be coming out soon, where I'll be able to customize more of this experience, more of this approach to each person. And we'll be able to do a bigger deep dive on how these hormones work and how the phases go into each other. And also just a basic introduction into how you can start to track and understand a cycle. Yeah, so that's everything we've got going on. The 40% sale is happening until midnight tonight, on for the cycle syncing breakdown. So go ahead and check that out. And you can always find me at onetolisten.com as an advisor. I'm on most basically every day. I am a night owl though, so you'll see me in the afternoon and pretty late into the night. So if you ever need to chat, you're always welcome to give me a call. And until then, that is our show for this week. And I had so much fun talking about all of this. And yeah, you guys, I will be jumping into the chat room right after this to answer all your questions and to say hi. And I will see you all next week, Monday at noon Pacific time for our next Life Journeys chat. Enjoy the rest of your week, you guys, and be kind to yourselves as we're feeling all of these chaotic energies. And give yourselves some grace. Okay, sending you all love. Thanks for being here. Talk to you next week, you guys.